People in Selbridge in County Kildare have mounted a protest at one of Ireland's most popular heritage sites, Castletown House and Parklands, in a row over restricted access to the property. The historic house and grounds are owned by the state, but much of the land surrounding it was recently purchased by private developers after the state failed in its bid. The new owners then withdrew permission for continued use of the main access road and car park. As a result, the Office of Public Works says it intends to reroute traffic through Selbridge to an older, currently pedestrian entrance and build a car park within the grounds. It's a move that's angered locals who've been blocking construction vehicles from entering the site since early yesterday morning. We can talk now to the Minister responsible, Minister for the OPW, Patrick O'Donovan, who joins us from our Limerick studio. Very good afternoon, Minister. And,
good afternoon,
welcome
Brian.
To the News at One. So what's the situation now in relation to this planned construction of the car park? Is it your intention to go ahead if access can be gained for the construction teams?
So, look, ideally, I think it's important to put it in context. Castletown House, as you say, is one of our most important sites just outside Dublin in North Kildare. It's a huge part of Kildare tourism. It's a huge part of the tourism and amenity offering in the North Kildare area. And the Office of Public Works have responsibility for the house. And we also have about 225 acres ourselves. A chunk of land came up for sale last year that was part of the original Castletown estate. We put in a bid. Unfortunately, we didn't win. Through that parcel of land, we had access, which was established from 2007 onwards towards the motorway. We had a very good working relationship with the previous landowner. And to be honest about it, we would hope that we would have a good working relationship with the current landowner as well. However, you know, we are now facing this ultimatum whereby access is going to be restricted from 10 o'clock on Friday evening. And that puts a huge dilemma for us in terms of being able to keep this national asset. It is a local amenity, yes, but it's also a national asset to keep it open to the public, and particularly for a lot of our visitors who have restricted mobility and are disabled. And at the moment, we have no provision for them because the car park that we currently have, the access point that we currently have off the M4, it is proposed that they be discontinued. So we are in a serious dilemma here.
So the plan then is to go ahead with this new car park at the Selbridge entrance then?
Well, the plan at the moment is, and I can understand, look, the residents' concerns naturally, and we've had similar issues like this, for instance, in the Phoenix Park. I've asked the officials in the Office of Public Works to continue to engage with the landowner to see if the ultimatum of Friday evening can be removed off the table to give us a bit of time to actually have further discussions in this. And I think if that happened, it would be very helpful.
This car park would be parked.
Well, look, I mean, I have to be honest with people. We have to provide access for people to a national amenity and a national asset. And we have to be cognizant that some people's mobility is far more reduced than others. And like for blue badge holders, I mean, what am I supposed to say to them after Friday at 10 o'clock that they're no longer welcome, bearing in mind now that the gate that is proposed was the original gate for all the vehicles that used to come into Castletown prior to the M4 entrance.
So this might well not be, as you say, as you are presenting it, a temporary solution.
Well, look, what I would hope is, I would love if all of this land was in the state's ownership.
Well, you had your chance earlier this year when it was put up for sale.
We did, and you know, I have to be cognizant as well as a minister of the government and speaking to somebody, you know, where RTE have come over the calls with the Controller and Auditor General, we have to be very conscious of our obligations under Public Spending Code and our responsibility to the Public Accounts Committee. And I know that there are members of the Oireachtas in the North Kildare area who are either farmer or current members of the Public Accounts Committee, and they would expect me and they would expect the commissioners of the Office of Public Works to work within the Public Spending Code, and that's what we have to do.
It's a unique landscape, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And this would have completed, if you like, the property, the state's property holding around Castletown.
I mean, the place is magnificent. When it was built in the 1770s, it was the biggest house in Ireland. It was built for the last Speaker of the Irish House of Commons. It's of huge national and international significance. It is a desperate pity that it was broken up at the time, but like Ireland was a busted flush when this house came up for sale. We couldn't afford to buy it. Now we're in a different space, and I would hope that, look, I'm appealing really to the landowner here to remove the ultimatum of Friday at 10 o'clock and allow space for negotiations between the state through the Office of Public Works, Kildare County Council, who I also have to say have been extremely helpful, and the landowner to look to see if we can come back to some sort of an arrangement that was there with the previous one, because we don't want to discommode the disabled and people riddled with blue badges, but that's exactly what's going to happen.
Just a word about the situation in relation to another area of responsibility for the OPW, which is the construction of modular housing for, I think for the most part, for Ukrainian refugees.
Yeah.
Now, the intention was to have 500 units constructed on lands, I think for the most part owned by local authorities around the country, but by the end of this year. What progress has been made on that?
So we've made very good progress, actually, to be honest about it. Five are completed and handed over there in Cork and Claremorris, in Sligo, in Cavan and Turles, and there's a couple of others in Offaly, Rathdowney and County Laois. They're in progress. Mm. But look, some local authorities have been exceptional, some state agencies have been exceptional, and then others, unfortunately, have not. Like the four largest local authorities in the country, we haven't got a sight off of them.
And they are?
The four Dublin local authorities. And it's very disappointing. Some local authorities have really engaged with this, as has their local authority members, because, you know, if we're talking about housing for all, then this is exactly what it should be, is housing for all. Mm-hmm. And what we have proven through the course of this is we have proven that modern methods of construction in single story, and also on Department of Agriculture lens, we're now proving the concept of volumetric two-story building.
Of that 500, how many will be built by the end of this year?
Well, it's actually 700, and we'll have 514 completed, but we will be short sites for about 186. So we're still in discussions with some of the public bodies who haven't been maybe as, what do I call it, energetic as they should be around providing us with land. And again, I would say that, you know, some of the smaller local authorities have been the most helpful. Like, if you look at where these are based at the moment, they're all in rural and provincial Ireland, in small local authorities with limited space. The larger ones need to step up.
But elsewhere, local councillors have voted against plans to make sites available. Members of your own party in Wicklow, for example.
Look, I mean, I think what happened in Wicklow is very regrettable, and I would hope that the Wicklow CEO would be able to come back to us with an alternative site. I mean, this problem is not going to go away. We have these houses, and any local authority member or any local authority CEO or director of service is welcome to come onto an OPW site that has been built on by CISC at the moment. These are a new generation of housing that will really, I think, set a discussion loose in this country as to where modern methods of construction go. Okay. And we would welcome any local authority member who wants to see exactly what we've constructed onto any of our sites.
All right. Just before I let you go, Minister, you mentioned RTE earlier. What do you think of their pitch for interim funding this year?
Well, as I said on another radio station, a commercial one, which, by the way, is a public service broadcaster in my book, I think they have some neck. You know, I mean, they've been the authors of their own destiny. It's back as far as 2015, I have been questioning some of what I would call the absolutely outrageous practices in RTE. And at the time, I was lampooned for it. And now we're in a situation where there's a 50 million euro hole. And I know what they're going to do now. They're going to come back with the same unpalatable things that they came around with the last time, like close the studio that I'm sitting in at the moment, which was a great studio during COVID. I think it's about time that RTE realised their asset that you're sitting in at the moment. The last time around, I mean, even at a ballpark figure, I think they got about 12 million euros an acre. And if there's an art of 20 acres there, that place could be worth anything up to in the low 300s. So, like, coming back to the bank of last resort is a bit rich, considering that all of this, even as late as today, they still haven't learned a lesson. They did a data dump on top of the Oireachtas members who are preparing to question them tomorrow. Yesterday evening, TDs and senators received documents, hundreds of documents, into their emails. You know, it just shows that over the summer, and I watched all of it, they learned absolutely nothing.
So, more asset disposals and much more reform.
I think, like, if RTE is a national broadcaster, you know, it has to show that it is up for the changes that are necessary. If the site that is currently, by the way, the last time there was a site sold there, not a single perch of it went for a social house. But the next time round, I think that if that asset is to be realised and you could get north of 300 million, it would pale into insignificance what the government are going to be asked for at the moment, which is probably somewhere between 40 and 50. But I think, like, that if Virgin Media can broadcast out of an industrial estate in Ballymount, it begs the question, why are RTE broadcasting out of probably one of the most lucrative sites in Western Europe?
All right. Minister, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Thanks for talking to us. That's the Minister for the OPW, Patrick.